If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, everybody, before we get into this week's show, I just want to let you know about Lane Finder, which is a partner of Hammer Lane Legends. Lane Finder is an app you can go ahead and download as a trucker, and it will help you find your dream job as a trucker. This is a truck driving app. It's not for anybody. It's just for truck drivers. And what it is you download this app and you fill out your information, and it will design a profile for you. And when there is a job in the area fitting the criteria that you're looking for in a job, they will notify you so you can get first dibs on applying and getting that job that you always wanted. Lane Finder. Go ahead and click the links in the description of this episode for Android or iOS, and you will be able to download your app right to your phone and get started today. And by using the link in the description, you're helping out Hammer Lane Legends immensely, because Lane Finder will then know that you came from us and they'll keep us around promoting their products. So thanks in advance, and let's get to the show.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, across the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going Hodge," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed this plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to the show, everybody. You're listening to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Tony Merkel.
And I'm Brian Merkel.
And we're really glad that you're here. If you have a crazy and wild experience you want to share with us from the road, go ahead and shoot us an email. Our email address is hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. That's hammerlanelegends@gmail.com. Or go to the website, hammerlanelegends.com, hit the contact section, and you can reach us that way as well. Either works for us. Just get a hold of us. And we just got some emails just recently before we started hitting record, so go ahead and do that if you're interested in coming on the show. But if you are somebody who thinks you have a story to share, but you're not quite sure if it's show-worthy, or you're a little shy, you're not really interested in coming on the show, we got a great option for you, and that is call the voicemail line. The voicemail line is now set up for you to leave a 15-minute voicemail. So you can go up to 15 minutes, and if you have to go longer than 15 minutes, chances are you should probably just contact us and get on the show. But if you want to call the voicemail, go ahead. It's 515-585-MERK. That's 515-585-MERK or 6375. Looking forward to the voicemails, and if we like the voicemail, we will definitely be playing the voicemail on the show. Isn't that fun, Dad?
That's awesome. I think that's a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, I think so, too. I'm really excited about it. So, Dad, who do we have coming on the show today?
Tony, today we're talking to Brandon. He's a short-term truck driver. He's only been out for about a year and a half, 2 years, something like that, and he's going to talk about some of his experience with team driving and some of the things that he's seen on the road over the past roughly 2 years.
Yeah, I think it was a great conversation. He's just a great guy to talk to. It was fun.
He's very engaging, very easy to talk to. I think people are going to love the show.
Absolutely. Let's get to it right now. right, today we got a great guest coming on the show. We have Brandon. Brandon, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Doing good.
Yep, doing real well.
So, Brandon, man, I just want to let you know you're the first interview we're doing on our new microphones in the studio. I have had this microphone for a while, but now I got my dad the matching microphone, so I'm pretty excited about it.
He's like a little kid. I don't understand it, but okay. It does sound good.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we have, not only visually do we have, it looks better this way, but also technologically wise, I mean, the quality is just going to be phenomenal. Like, I know people,
it already sounded good before, so I mean, I can imagine what it's gonna sound like now.
It's gonna be a lot less post-production, so it's gonna be, to get the sound that we want, we've done a lot of post-production because we had two different microphones, and the microphone he was using was my old microphone that picked up a lot of reverb, and so to get that reverb out of the audio was a pain in the butt. But now that we have both the same microphone, we're working with actually the microphone that Michael Jackson recorded Thriller on, the Shure SM7B. So,
oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that's
buddy.
Awesome.
Listen, I'm an audio geek, guys. Like,
I was gonna say, you always said all this just so we could have an interview.
I feel special now.
There
if
you
I didn't
go.
Already. I
there
know.
You go. That's it.
I'm just saying, like, you know, we're here to put out a show that sounds like quality, and we're just letting the audience know we just upgraded in a significant way. So
that's awesome, man.
But yeah, it's even nice where before we were having to mute and unmute our microphones when we weren't talking to preserve the sanctity of quality of audio, but now with these microphones we don't need to do that anymore. Like, we're just gonna remain unmuted the entire time, and it's gonna be nice. It's like
all that background noise gone.
Yeah, it's gonna be great.
That's awesome.
Oh, that's right, we're here to talk about trucks.
If I can jump in here, hey Brandon, it's nice to talk to you. So
nice to talk to you too.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us how you got into trucking, and let's go from there.
Yeah, let's do it. So so I'm 24 now, and now I'm going on 2 years of doing it. So a couple of years ago, I they weren't dead end jobs, as you know, I know it happens to a lot of people, but I was in the automotive industry, and I love cars and everything about them. But I just felt myself, like, any avenue I would try to get up, whether it went all the way from being a line technician to all the way to jumping to sales. I mean, I was trying everything in my power. And I was like, you know what, like, let's make a checklist here. What do I like and don't like? And, I know everyone's going to know what this is, but everyone seems to have this story, but that show, the movie, The Black Dog with, Patrick Swayze. Oh man. When I was younger, that was it. I grew up watching that every time we go to Hollywood Video, and I begged my dad to rent that. And I always loved trucking, and I always thought kind of myself, like, there's just no way I could do that. I picture myself doing it, and I was like, yeah, but those guys, you know, those are the dudes right there, you know, they're the ones out, you know, lifeblood of America, right? And I was like, there's no way I could do it. I'm just a small town boy right here. So, but anyways, a couple of my buddies, you know, got their CDLs, and I was like, there's no way, you know, they're going to be doing this, and I'm out here, you know, doing this. So I did some research, and that's basically like, I kind of looked at my life, and I was like, if I do it now, I have enough time to where if it doesn't work out, you know, it's not a career ender. And trucking either, I've heard from so many people, you know, you're meant for it or you're not, you know. And I was like, well, what do I have to lose at this point? So that's how I ended up diving into it.
Man, that's not my story.
I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, trucking has been always on the table for me, and I avoided it like a freaking bad habit for a long time.
Yeah, man, it'll sneak. But you know what you know what I mean? When you're just sitting there thinking, it's always going to be in the back of your mind. And in both scenarios, yours and mine, you know, for me, it was an unanswered question for me. And yeah, I'm sure it was the same for you. You're like sitting there with it on the table, but it's haunting you, and you're like, no, I'm gonna do it the other way. And sure enough, it always finds its way back around.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just like, I know I can do it, I just don't want to.
You're like, am I ready to surrender just yet? Maybe I can try this.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, my dad's been driving trucks since I was a little kid. I remember when he was studying for the CDL test, and he'd have like my toy tractor trailers on a table, just visually seeing how the trailer moves and stuff with backing in and things like that. So I was there from the beginning, and then I was there as he was jumping through the hoops to get to a decent company where he can actually live decently. And then even that, you know, working at a good company, the hours that it takes to, you know, it's like people think that truck drivers make good money because it's just a hugely high paying job, which it can be, but a lot of times it's because we have to put the time in order to get that money. And I literally mean have to, like, we don't have a choice. Like I don't know how it is in other industries, but the LTL industry, it's like, hey, you're starting at 9 o'clock. Cool. When am I getting done? We don't know yet. We'll let you know around 6 o'clock tonight when we're done.
Yeah. You get done when you get done.
When dispatch is going home, then you have a pretty good idea as to what you have left on the board as to when you're going to get home and done. And so
it's
that process and idea of things that I was not very fond of. But, you know, I got to the point where I needed to create an income. I needed to create a decent income to start building my life with my wife. And, you know, we did it. Not podcasting, truck driving. Yeah. We're podcasting now.
Yeah. Maybe in a few years here, you're starting to blow up. So let's see how she goes.
We'll see. We'll see. But, you know, until it happens, it hasn't happened. So, you know what I mean? I'm a truck driver till I'm not a truck driver kind of thing. So, but yeah, dude, so you started driving and you're 2 years into it. So you're a newer truck driver. You're also younger, too. I mean, you're 10 years younger than me and probably 1,000 years younger than my dad. You knew that was coming.
I knew.
You knew I was waiting for it myself, actually.
I looked up, before I even said it, I looked over at him. He kind of perks up with his shoulders like he's like, I know he's going to say it.
Let me just put it this way. When I started driving when Tony was young, I had hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's well, we'll go down that road some other time. Yeah. But so what was the first job you got as a truck driver? I mean, you went through school, I'm assuming, because me, I never went to school for truck driving. I just was taught at the companies I worked with. So you go to school, you come out of school, what was your first job as an actual truck driver?
Well, that's honestly one of the key things I feel like isn't talked about too much is for example, I really want to touch on this is that when I was trying to get in, you know, I knew a bunch of people with their CDLs, but unfortunately I didn't know anyone directly, you know, at this day and age that could give me vital information on how to go, because it's different now, you know. And then there's that common, you know, misconception of you have to do your over the road before you can come back. I know you guys have talked about that multiple times, and it is a true misconception. But, you know, I didn't know anyone, and I was just doing research, and I ended up actually going with one of the big mega carriers in their 10-month prison sentence contract.
I like that.
Because, you know, it was because they get you, you know, no money out of pocket. You're going to get paid to get your CDL, you know, and then you're guaranteed a job right out of school. And that's about where that pros list ends, you know. And knowing what I know now, man, I just try to tell so many people to go another way, in my opinion, because it's not what it seems. Oh, my goodness. They own you, man.
Yes. Yes, they do. And they've got you for 10 months to a year. And, you know, it's crazy.
Correct.
It is a prison sentence. That is.
It's just, you know, and so I ended up, I'm gonna say their name because I really could care less, and
Hold on. We might be looking for them to be a sponsor one day, and you're just gonna trash them on the show. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead, trash them.
Trash away.
I like trashing people.
Either way.
Go ahead, no, trash away.
It's all good.
All right, this is my honest truth, and everyone's experience could be different, so there could be a positive ending to this. Who knows? But it was CRST. Expedited, and I think you guys have probably seen their trucks around, because I know you're Pitt, Ohio, and I've done a few loads for Pitt, Ohio with them, so that's how I recognize your guys' company.
Are they
a awesome
care?
Spot, by the way.
Are they really?
They use everybody.
No, are they? I'm sorry. I'm having a conversation with my dad here while you're talking.
Yeah, he's talking to me back and forth. It's like,
are they part of our network at Pitt though?
Not like in our regular.
Not in our network, though.
Yeah,
okay.
No, go ahead. No. Yeah, like, you can two trailers outside. In the back of a yard.
Gotcha.
You
know,
in like Columbus is where I used
then
to go.
Brandon, go ahead and trash away. It's okay. I just wanted to make sure we're great.
I just, when I rolled in, I never forget the two times I rolled in, I would always see like three line haul guys step outside, and there was a tight spot every time, and I just see them all shake their heads and turn away and not want to witness the carnage they thought was going to happen. Luckily, that never happened, but yeah. Anyways, I'll get back on track real quick here. I know I don't have too much time today, so anyways, sorry, guys.
No,
so okay. CRST, I went through them. I don't know why I picked them, honestly, out of, amongst other carriers. It was just kind of the first one that got back to me. I was kind of at a point where I'm doing this or I'm not doing this. I had the long conversation with my woman about it, and she was supportive, and it's just a lot of things aren't what they say, and I'm not going to make this about the company. I want to make it more about going into that kind of, because I noticed there's a culture with that kind of way to get into the industry, and that's what I wish I would have known. And it's typically, you go down there, you get your CDL. That was all fine and dandy. A lot of things aren't going to be what they see, what they say, but that's honestly, that's what you're going to get. You're not paying for your CDL. They own you, and that's kind of the whole mentality is, you got to play by their rules, and, which is fine. I was into it. I said, I'm doing this 10 months. I'm not going to pay this money back or whatever. I'm going to get my experience and it'll be better after that, light at the end of the tunnel type situation. But, it was very hard to make it to where the point where I had to thank God my parents, they lived near me and they were so gracious. Being over the road from those 10 months, I actually had to, my lease was up on my place at the time. And there's no way, even if I needed to keep it, had I, had a family, just not a girlfriend, I don't know if it would have been possible to maintain on that income. And I was running really, really hard. I was going home once every couple of months and 6-7 days a week, recaps, all that stuff. And it was just, I don't know how somebody could do that with a family, honestly.
Right. That's exactly it. It's hard. It's a very hard to get started into this thing, especially when you go down that road. It takes a lot of sacrifice. It really does.
It does.
This is not an unforgiving, or this is not a, yeah, it's not a very unforgiving industry. It takes a lot. So, you got to put your time in, and that's the hard part is doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I did that, and, I finished the 10 months, but, during that time, I think the one other thing I did want to say was also, the dynamic of, team driving, it didn't bother me at first too much, but when you start out and you go with one of these big mega carriers and they tell you team driving, what I did not think about was all these other people that have been, CDL holders for 2 months, those are going to be the people you have to team drive with. And, your life is in their hands half of the day,
Yeah. That's a scary prospect, isn't it?
It's crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's all right.
Well, I'll tell you, I never thought about that. And that, it to me, is very, very scary, because I think about, so at work, when we are training new drivers, say we have a guy who, went from being a dock worker, then he was trained to be a Class B driver, and now he's going to be training to be a Class A driver. We have somebody who's one of our drivers, a designated trainer. And I thought about doing that. And I talked to the boss about it. He said, talk to the safety guy next time he comes into town. Then we got hit with a pandemic and the safety guy doesn't come into town anymore, all that stuff. But one of the things that was my hesitation was the idea that I would be training somebody who has no idea what they're doing behind the wheel before I get to them. Literally, I think when I was training with Pitt to get my Class A, when I was training with them, I think I had to have 10 hours of practice time in the yard before I punched the clock one day. I get in that driver's seat with my trainer and he's like, okay, go to the first stop. And I literally learned how to drive a trailer and how to shift gears, downshifting, all that stuff while I'm on the clock going to a delivery. And I think about that, and I think about my trainer and how he's been doing it for 20 some years now, training all these drivers, and how he must got used to it. But at first, he must have been losing his hair, because he's in a passenger seat of this nuke going down the highway with a guy who's never driven this before. And my hesitation was, I don't know if I actually have the patience for that. I think I'd be like, bro, come on now. Because here's my thing. the guys, when I talk to them about this, because there's a lot of guys that want to become trailer drivers at Pitt, and I talked to them about the benefits of it and all that stuff. But one of the biggest things is you can see it the way they talk to you. And when they're talking about it, they're very jittery. They're nervous. They're hesitant. And I tell them, you got to put that behind you. You do not want to be nervous your first day out in the road. You're going to be nervous, but you can't let that get overwhelm you. You know how to drive. You know how to drive. You know how to make something go forward, and you know how where the accelerator is, and most importantly, you know where the brake is. From that point, you're learning. So all you got to do is learn. When you're making those turns, dude, you're driving the tandems, not the tractor. Make sure you're clearing that turn, you know? Watch your mirrors, because these straight truck guys, when you're a straight truck driver, you don't necessarily watch the mirrors like you do as a trailer guy. It's a whole different game. And so running that through my head, I'm thinking, I don't know if I'd have the patience to be training somebody. And here you are, new on the job, and you got somebody who's, it's like, oh man, how long have you been driving? 2 weeks. Oh, crap.
No, dead serious. That's literally what the conversations were. Was we were talking about how our school experience was, because it was that recent. And I went through maybe 6 or 7 go drivers.
Wow.
Wow.
That's great.
In 10 months.
In 10 months, you went through 6 or 7?
Yeah, in 10 months. And 3 or 4 of them, I can't say what happened to everybody, because, I mean, that is honestly, yeah, there's some things that better left unsaid, but it's... 3 of them weren't even from any type of, you know, we'll say beef we had in the truck. It was stuff that they had done, you know, and they were, and in that first year, that half a year, when what I said earlier, you figure out if you're made for this or not. That's with me that they're figuring that out. Wow. You know?
Prospect. Yeah, exactly.
That's terrifying.
It's horrifying. It's, I would say to anyone out there doing, team driving and stuff, definitely, I would try team driving. Its benefits for me don't outweigh the cons. There's just, I can't look at it in any way. The only way I've ever seen team driving as something viable is if your lady who you trust with your life, or a lifelong friend or something that you know is going to get you there safe. And if there was an accident, you didn't put your life in danger for no reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. But these 2-3 months, and then they every time I would go into that yard at CRST in SoCal, I would see a different truck that had rolled over, I swear to you. And I just think to myself every time, there was somebody in the back. They are a team only operation. Oh my gosh.
You know, now that we're talking about teaming with people and stuff, I got a little story.
Let me hear it.
I'm not going to name drop because he's a buddy of mine, but,
I don't know who he is.
I don't think he's told very many people this story.
We got to hear it. But I'm interviewing you. Let's go.
I got a friend who, he drives trailer, and he used to do team driving. And when he first started doing team driving, he was married, and he gets into team driving, and his wife, you know, is okay with him, you know, doing the team driving thing, driving across the country, being gone all the time, just like you described, man. And so he goes into this place that was hiring, and he fills out the application, does the interview, and the interview goes well, and they want to hire him, and they call him, and they said, you know, we really want to bring you on and stuff. Are you okay with driving with a female? And he's like,
yeah,
yes.
I'm here, Brandon. I'm with you.
And so he tells him yes, and he hangs up the phone, and he says to his wife, good news. I got the job. Oh, that's great. That's great. Yeah, yeah. Totally left out the part that he was driving with a lady.
Oh,
and,
no.
And so he sets off on his grand new adventure, driving all over the country with this this lady right around the same age as him, and there is an attraction.
Oh my goodness.
And so, you know,
the options aren't many out there. Yeah. So it happens, man.
And so they're driving all over the country and, you know, Miami, and they'd get there 2 days early and they'd drop the trailer and take the tractor somewhere else. And they'd go out and, you know, go to the mall, go to bars, whatever together. And, you know, you have a few drinks and you have to go back to your house, which is on wheels, and it's already rocking as soon as you start climbing up inside. And so he falls into some sexual sin. And this carries on for a while. And he's not telling, his wife has no idea that his partner is a woman. And I think at some point she actually asked him, and she's like, is your partner a woman? And he's like, no, not at all.
Oh no.
No.
He had the out right
and,
there.
Yeah. And so when they would go back into town for, you know, their break or whatever, he'd drop her off wherever and he'd take the truck home and he'd go pick her up with the truck to go get the trailer or whatever. So she wouldn't come to the house to drop him off. And so they're doing this for probably like a year or so.
Wow.
And
he
goes and picks her up. They live in the same town or something like that, not too far from each other. I mean, they're partners. And the one time he goes to pick her up and they're heading out of town for, you know, another month or whatever. And his wife gets a phone call from one of their friends saying, oh, I didn't know so-and-so was partnering with a woman. So that's how his wife found out that he's partnering with a woman. And so she didn't like that. And so she calls him and she asks him and he's like, no, 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 it's not a woman. This, that, and the other. Just lie, 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 deny, 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 deny. Deny.
God's up.
And, you know, their eyes were cross-eyed. They didn't see clearly, you know? And so she, you know, okay, you know, and he continues driving around. And then he comes home one day, drops this lady off, goes to his place, and I don't know, he probably passed out on the couch or something like that, and his wife goes into the truck and finds women's clothing and women's underwear and things like that. I actually think the lady forgot a pair of her underwear underneath the seat or something like that.
Oh, no.
And she found out that way. And man, was she pissed.
And understandably so.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean,
yeah. And so.
Oh my gosh.
That's when he started driving local.
By himself.
You knew that pretty well there.
Yeah. That's when he started driving local. His wife stayed with him. They worked things out and all that stuff. Counseling. It's, you know, it's a good thing, counseling.
Oh, well, good for them at least.
Yeah. They worked things out and, you know.
That is, it's one of the things that, there are so many stories of, that scenario, but with trainers, because, you know, it's not gender neutral, that's probably the wrong word, but they don't see in gender anymore because they need people working for them. You know, some of these, big companies, and there are so many, there's a question right on the application saying, who would you prefer to train with? And, you know, you put like, I put male, you know, and if the situation arises where there's only a female, you know, would you consider that, you know, the opposite sex, would you consider that? And I put absolutely not. It's not a matter of, am I questioning somebody else's morals or mine? It's, you just never know in today's world, you know, what could happen. And not like cheating, just anyone could say anything, and you got to protect yourself at all times. You know, we're protecting ourselves from you know, just crazy drivers out there. You got to think about the person behind you sleeping in the bunk. You know, you can never be too safe, you know.
Absolutely. And I know, you know, in today's world and stuff, you know, everything is upside down and everybody wants to get offended by everything, but I'll be honest with you. If I had to go over the road and I found myself in a job where I had to have a partner, I would not be riding with a woman, just because, nothing against the lady. It's just
correct. Yeah. Make that very clear.
Honestly, 100% over time, I don't trust myself. 100% being honest.
Right.
Over time,
it's that. Yeah, you're 4 feet away from them the entire time you guys are driving at most.
Yeah.
You know,
like you don't know what is going to transpire 6 months to a year from now, where you get to know this person, you're lonely, you see them way more than you see your wife or your spouse, and you know they're single or whatever. I just don't want to ever be put in that kind of position where I would even contemplate it. And I know my weaknesses, and I don't think that would be a very good idea long term speaking.
Right.
I think I can handle it for a month or whatever, but I think long term, I don't think it's a good idea for me. Not for everybody. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are much more level headed and better, love their wives more than I do, I guess. But
people do it though. You know, some people can do it too. I've seen successful, you know, really awesome rock star team operations where, you know, they're just friends, and that's all it ever will be. And they're both, you know, have others. And obviously I don't know what goes on behind the curtains, but you know, on the outside, it's just, it works, and all the more power to them. But yeah, as far as me, and it sounds like you too, like I, not the tempting part for me, it's just, I couldn't imagine, you know, and what if just hypothetically somebody else makes a move on you and you shut that shit down as you should, you know, and then they say something, and then, you know, they're not inside cameras in those trucks. They're not going to look at it. That's an invasion of privacy. Now you find yourself in a courtroom and you're like, I was driving a truck a week ago. What happened? You know, all from a check on an application. That's how I looked at it, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point, man. That's a good point. And it's just, for me, not a good idea.
I hear you.
I'm just being honest. But enough about me. Let's talk about you.
Hey, we still have Brandon on the phone.
Yeah. So Brandon, you're out there, you're doing your team driving and stuff. I know it was an experience, and I know you've had, you know, the ups and downs, but let's get into the nitty gritty with this one experience. I know you've mentioned in the email, what happened, bro? I know you know where I'm going with this.
I 100% do. So we were, for anyone out there familiar, it was, thank God it was east of Denver, Colorado, on the 70, not west where the mountains are. But we were heading into Denver, a team driver and I, and he was, I noticed that he was sitting next to me when I was driving my shift a lot, and he was on his phone. I heard him back in the bunk making phone calls. And before long, I realized, you know, this guy's got to drive in a couple hours. So, you know, I'm thinking to myself, has he slept and been sleep talking this whole time, or has he really not gone to bed? But, you know, I'm just focusing on myself at that point. So we pull over, we make the switch, and we're 4 hours from Denver from, you know, I think it was a UPS drop. And he's like, man, I'm really tired. And I'm like, I wonder why that could be, you know, just if you're tired, pull over, whatever, you know, no load's worth the life. And so, yeah, we're about 4 hours out. I wake up a couple hours later. We're pulling into a gas station. I look at the clock and we're 3 hours away, and it had been like 3 hours. So we'd gone an hour in 3 hours. I remember saying like, hey, you know, like, and this was where I went wrong. I said, hey, you've driven an hour and what's going on? And he got really frustrated. And that was my fault for ever saying, you know, we should get there on time over, you know, I didn't stop to ask like, are you tired? Did you get lost? You know? So before I see what happens, that's on me, I guess. And I remember him driving like a bat out of hell after that, and I was so tired from that week. I just was like, you know what, I need to go to bed. I need to make sure I'm good to drive in the morning. And I remember waking up to the sound of this guy screaming bloody murder. I've never heard someone, a man at least, scream this high pitch. And I was like, what is he doing? And I remember feeling weightless for a second in the bunk. And those bunks, you have the bed nets, and they go at a 45-degree angle over you that you're supposed to be wearing in case of a crash. I remember feeling weightless and then feeling the bed net pressed up against my face. And that's when I opened my eyes, and just boom, we hit. And everything in the cabinets was flying. I slipped underneath my bed net, and thank God this was an automatic truck, because I flew forward into the, on the ground, into the dashboard where the stick shift, say, would have been.
Wow.
You know, and I was like, wind knocked out of me, like, what is going on? And I look up and he's swerving, and I'm like, what is going on, you know? And he gets the truck to a stop, and he looks down at me, he's like, I think I fell asleep. And I'm like, you think? What's going on? I was so disoriented. And what had happened was, now that I know, is we were on the freeway, and there's kind of it's about a 15-foot dip by 40 feet that separates, you know, eastbound and westbound. And it was like a 20-foot, you know, to the middle bottom of the ditch. And he had flown off into that, and we had caught a little bit of air, and somehow when we hit the bottom, he didn't swerve to the right away, and we didn't flip or anything. It was just, thank God that was the case. But that impact is what caused me to fly forward underneath the bed net straps, which I thought were good, but I didn't have time enough apparently. And we just flew into that median. There was no concrete, there wasn't that, thank God, you know, there was no those odd fences that like somehow hold trucks back. It was just grass, and I remember facing the other way on the freeway, getting out of the truck like, oh my gosh, you know, had we have kept going into oncoming on a busy time of day, you know, it's just, it was one of the most wild things I've experienced in the back of a truck for sure.
Wow. I mean, what do you say to that? That is crazy. That is crazy. Thankfully, thank God nobody was hurt. I mean, really?
Yeah.
Holy, you know, cow. That's freaking ridiculous. And you know, that is why it gets stressed so much in the industry. You got to get your rest. It is stressed 100%. Constantly. And I mean, I can appreciate the struggle that there is there, you know, when you're driving teams and, you know, one guy's driving and you're like, well, you know, we want to sit and talk, you know, you're a human being. You want to communicate with somebody. You want to talk to somebody. I get that. But at the same time, it's like, wow, this is, I mean, if there's a PSA for getting your rest for truck drivers, this is it. This is what can happen. And thankfully nobody was hurt. But wow, I mean, how long were you guys down for then? I mean, how much damage did it do to the tractor?
You know, I was surprised when I got out of the truck and looked around. I was like, well, the load's done, you know, it's shifted because it wasn't all full. And, you know, and I was like, it's jacked up, thinking to myself. And I get out of the truck and it's not that damaged. And I'm like, no, we are not going to drive this thing out of here. Like, I'm not going to bed for sure again. Like, there's no way I could trust this guy. But I told him he wanted to keep going to Denver. And I was like, we were about 20 minutes out. And I was like, look, like there's that Love's that's right before Denver that was like 5 minutes away from us. I was like, let's just try to get this into a shop. Truthfully, I wanted out of the truck. I was like, the closest I can get, and I can't drive the truck there, you know, and the tires had air in them, everything. It turned out we got put in another truck, and that truck's frame was, I forget how many degrees, it was, the front of the frame was buckled all the way up, and it wasn't enough to notice in the middle of the night, but that thing was toast. Wow. That frame, it was the frame that took the brunt, and then the drag link, the pitman arm, all that were bent too. The steering was a little cattywonkers, but it was mainly the frame that took the brunt of that hit with all the weight in the trailer pushing against it, and then some other little things like the fifth wheel, some stuff on there got damaged. But
right, wow. That is just that is crazy. And you know what? That will put the fear of God in you as far as I don't want to drive with somebody else anymore, you know?
Yep. And that was a week out of my 10 months finishing. Wow. Right. So at that point I'm sitting here thinking, I was like, I need to go home, right? And you have to work till this particular contract, you have to work till that if there is work. That is how that works. I called my DM, he said, well, no, you know, I understand what happened, but we just need to get you going. There's no other co-drivers. And we had a run to Ohio, or actually Nebraska, and then back to California. And the way the load times were, it was split up. So I had a week with this guy. If I could just tolerate that.
Man.
Because he wasn't even considered fired at that point. And that was his fourth or fifth incident, I guess. And which also shocked me. And so luckily, long story short, it ended up to where I was able to drive all the way back to California, and he wanted, my DM wanted me to watch him for the day in SoCal, and it's a day after my 10 months. And I was like, no, I'm going home. I quit. I'm so done. Thank you for the opportunity. It was amazing, but I'm good. And I just went home and never looked back.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because I'm listening to your story and I'm thinking, there's no way. If I was in your shoes, I would tell him, I'm not driving this truck with this dude. Send somebody else, figure it out. But then I started thinking, 10 months into my driving career, I probably would have, because I didn't have the stubbornness that I have now as a calloused driver.
That's what happens.
Exactly.
Time,
you know, and yeah. You're like, what can I, you know, in other industries, you can't put your foot down. But in this one, if you know where you stand, that is one thing that can protect you.
Yes. And the thing is at that point, you know, you almost want to look at it and, you know, with 27 years experience for myself, you know, you look at it and you're like, yeah, now I would look at them and say, well, you know what, we'll drive back together, but I will drive and we will take a 10-hour break together and yeah. I will be the person in charge of this truck until I park it. But, you know, if had that been me, you know, 10 months into my driving career, yeah, I would, you know, what do you do? You don't know.
Yeah.
You have no clue. You know, so
exactly.
you're at their mercy, and they know that. They know that you don't have a clue because you're not, you know, you're not mouthing back to anybody yet. But, you know, you give it some time in the trucking industry and you know, the attitude just comes out. Yeah. I mean, you know, that's just the way it is. So, you know, my hat's off to you for actually hanging in you there know, and finishing it up.
You know, and here's an example. You tore your ACL on the job on one of your first trailer jobs that you've had.
Yes,
A very long time ago, but I remember it very clearly. And you finished your day with a torn ACL.
Yeah.
If that happened today, you wouldn't have done that.
Oh, no.
You would have been like, come get me. I'm not driving a truck.
Nope.
Come get me. Yeah. Dispatch, guess where I'm at? I'm at the hospital. I called 911, left the truck on the side of the road. Sorry. Yeah.
You know? Keys are in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's a different world.
But back then,
yeah.
You know, you were newer, but also it was like, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to work. And,
yeah, you just worked and you worked through it.
Yeah. And so I totally get it. You know, with these companies too, it's interesting that they look to make a point to hire new drivers.
Oh, it's a revolving door.
Yeah. It's now that I'm thinking about it, because like I know it's a revolving door and all that stuff, and those are usually jobs that people get, and they're not intended to have guys there for 20 years.
Right.
But as the owner of those companies, man, like, talk about some cojones to be just hiring new guys all the time, yeah. Knowing what that brings. I hope their insurance is amazing, because if I'm employing just a bunch of rookies, you know there's going to be accidents. Like, you look at our company, Dad.
Right.
It's filled with a lot of veteran drivers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, my terminal has many guys that have been there for 30 years or more.
Right.
And we have accidents.
Yep. It happens.
It does.
If you have a bunch of rookies, holy crap. And that's what you were talking about, Brandon. You said that every time you went back to the yard, what, you saw like a trailer that was rolled or something?
100%. I would go there at least one to twice a month, and there was a different tractor with the fiberglass or whatever the roofs are made out of, those sleepers just caved. The A-pillars were caved back, and that thing was crooked, sitting on the frame, barely on there, every time.
Jeez. That's crazy.
Without fail.
Yeah, it is crazy. It really is. You know, that's the real story about truck driving is it's a dangerous, dangerous job. And you wish more people would understand that. And you know what bothers me, I think, the most, well, maybe not the most, but this is one of the things that really bothers me a lot is when you first start out in the industry, they pay squat. I mean, they really do. You know, and like you were saying earlier, Brandon, you know, what you were making when you first started driving, and, you know, you had it not been for your parents, that you wouldn't have been able to keep your apartment and all those things, and, you know, going, because it's the reality of it. And that, you know, that's what drives you crazy, is that you are doing one of the most dangerous jobs. It is one of the deadliest jobs in the country. And they're paying you, what, 32 cents a mile? 25 depends. I mean, when I started, it was 18 cents a mile. So, jeez. You know, when these guys, you know, when I they saw were all... Schneider come into the school and, you know, some of these other companies, yeah.
I'm
sitting there laughing.
I wish I would have gone with Schneider, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I got so many smart ass remarks going through my head right now.
Yeah, back when Abraham Lincoln was president, and I started driving. You know?
They had to get the truck.
That, 27 years ago, though, it hasn't gone up that much since then. Exactly. That's the craziest part.
That's what's sad. That is what is sad. And it takes time to put your time in, and you know it can be a really, it's a great job. It really is a great job. I enjoy doing it. If I didn't, I wouldn't still be doing it after 27 years. And that's one of the things that, you know, in standing around talking with some of the guys at our, you know, the company I work for, you know, you start talking and everybody has, you know, those thoughts about the company they work for. Yeah, I don't like this. I don't like that. There's a lot of things I don't like, but there's a lot of things that I do like. And if I didn't like it, I've been at the same company now for 23 years. And if I didn't like it, I wouldn't be there anymore. You know, and that's just the reality of the job. And, you know, you wish you could, you know, you have to keep that in the front of your mind when things aren't going great, when your day is, you know, when they're asking
you really
do else,
that light
know?
At the end of the tunnel is what I think made me see through it. And you know, what's a more interesting fact that I just couldn't get over. I had I said, if this fails, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the thing is, I loved the job. I love driving. I know it's only been a couple of years, but I just couldn't imagine doing anything else at this point in my life. I'm sure it might change down the road, but I am the happiest camper. And what I was thinking about was there's probably a lot of good drivers that don't even make it out of training on some of these bigger companies that could be real assets to companies. But due to these starter companies getting their hands on them first, it really it gets in the way of them saying, oh, maybe it's not meant for me, but they don't get the opportunity that some other people get, you know? So it's like filtering out some of the good drivers as well as the bad is what it seems to me.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It is. It's taking away the opportunity for a new driver to at least see enough of an income to say, hey, you know, this is going to be worth it, you know?
Exactly. Or, you know, a dire situation, you know, like, maybe they just are getting back to back to back crazy people to, you know, say they forced the team drive with, or maybe they're, you know, maybe their equipment is junk, which I mean, that shouldn't be, you know, if my equipment was junk when I started, that wouldn't bother me. I'd just be happy to drive the truck. But there's certain situations that can just say, you know what, if this is trucking, I don't want to do it, when it's really not. It's just that specific company or situation that you've gotten in, and you just don't know that it's better beyond that. You know, you can't see past it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, with the industry the way it is, you know, we have a lot more regulations on us than when Dad, you started driving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you would think that with those more restrictions and things like that, you get compensated for that. And of course, the industry has gone up in pay, but not comparatively over time the way you think it would have. When you first started driving truck, and I'm talking to my dad, not Brandon, when I say that.
Like, of course.
Because what I'm about to say here would make sense. But when truck drivers made boatloads of money, like if you were a truck driver, it was like, yeah, you're making that loot.
Right.
And now it's like the rest of the world has started really catching up to the truck driving industry as far as pay goes. Mm-hmm. And it really is difficult for trucking companies to find people to drive these trucks that look at the responsibilities that go along with those trucks, all the regulations, all the just driving responsibilities, and then looking at the compensation and saying, yeah, it's worth it. 25 years ago, people are like, yeah, it's worth it. Right. But now the world is caught up compensation wise to truck driving. And there's a lot of people out there that will say, I'll go do something else for that kind of money, you know?
That's
and so I think that leaves us in a situation where now the industry and these companies are looking for good quality drivers that are okay with the industry standard as far as pay goes. And it's resulting in lower quality of drivers. And then you have these crazy incidents happen out on the road. And, you know, like we had probably, I want to say, this is probably going on 10 years now. One of the towns around where we live had just remodeled a covered bridge. And, you know where this story's going.
when it starts out with, we remodeled a covered bridge. It's not going any place good.
Not at all. But I mean, they remodeled it, and it was literally like not even a month old. And on this road, there are signs everywhere. 10-foot bridge, 10-foot bridge, 10-foot bridge. And wouldn't you know it, there's a guy driving his trailer. He makes a turn because this road actually connects to another major road. And if there weren't any signs there, you would think, oh, this is a great cut through. But there right. are signs. But he decided to continue anyways. And he goes down this road, comes to the covered bridge. This guy has had his license for a month out of Jersey. And he comes to the covered bridge. Now, Brandon, you know this, Dad. I'm sure you maybe not remember this because it's been, you know, a while since you've gotten your trailer license. But I remember this. The nervousness of being in a situation where you have to back up your truck that's not in a yard.
Right.
Like, you're not around the safety of the yard and openness. You're now out in the road. There's traffic. And all of a sudden, I got to back this thing up for the first time, you know? And so... this guy, a month having his license, goes down this road, comes to a covered bridge, stops, and he's freaking out. Now, this isn't a busy road. This right. is a very low traffic road. I mean, it has a covered bridge on it. It tells you it's not very heavily traveled. But where this bridge is at, it obviously goes over a creek, but there is a road that branches off to the right before the bridge. Mm-hmm. And he could have bailed out on that to figure it out, or he could have just started backing up all the way back up to the road to where he could have maybe, worst case scenario, back it up into the intersection that you turn down the yeah. road, stop all traffic to get yourself straightened out, right? Instead of doing any of that, thinking it through, he got scared and decided to try going under the covered bridge. And when he felt the top of the bridge touch the top of his tractor, not even trailer, the tractor, right. he panicked and floored it. He took out the entire, he made it across. Good job, buddy.
What?
Good job. He made it across, but he took the top of the bridge out. Millions of dollars of damage. They had just put millions of dollars into this thing. The guy got arrested. He got arrested for it. And, you know, I'm thinking he's probably lost his job, but
yeah,
I mean, that's the thing though. I mean, we're in an industry where we are hurting so bad for quality drivers that leaves a lot of companies in a position where they'll hire whatever they can get, and then you get what you get when you can hire only things that you can get. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's you make it sound so simple that way, but man,
trucking 101.
Yeah. Welcome.
Well, you know, the thing is with these, you know, these big companies like this, you know, if they would treat their new drivers like their potential lifetime employees, instead of, well, we're going to get this guy in, we need somebody to sit behind the steering wheel and steer this thing around, and we'll have him for a few months, and when, you know, when he decides he's done, or when he's given this a try and decides it's not for him because we beat him to death and we've kept him out for 2 months at a time, you know, then we'll just fill it with another person, rather than viewing employees as one of the, in my own mind, this is one of the things that I find most offensive, is that we look at what do we call the personnel department nowadays? Human resources. They're just a human resource, and we're just going to use them like we do the diesel in the truck until it's gone, and then when he's gone, we're going to replace him with somebody or her, you know. And I just find that to be sometimes, and I'm sorry I'm on a soapbox right now, but man, I tell you, it's like people, it used to be called a personnel department because there was something personal in the personnel department. Now you're just a human resource, and that's what I know, I'm old, I get it, I'm old school, but that's, if we saw people as potential lifetime employees rather than just a human resource, I think we'd have a much happier workforce. Yeah.
You know, an interesting point too, if I could chime in real quick about is customer, it seems like this industry is so big about customer retention for how small it is about employee retention.
Yes,
you know?
Yes.
It's wild to me, but I actually, one thing too, I know we're probably running out of time here. I wanted to give another little story for you guys before 100%. We had to go, if that's all right.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, my word, go for it.
We're here for story time with Brandon. Let's do it.
Let's do it. Well, yes, this has been an awesome conversation. This has been awesome. Thank you so much for having me again, you guys. But on this one, it is, this is the craziest, this is It's the craziest because it's not the biggest, flashiest. It was just the weirdest thing I've seen so far. And it still like almost haunts me. And it has a greater point, but I'll make it very short because it's not that long of a story. But anyways, so I'm with a new company now. They're amazing. They're everything that Pitt, Ohio is to you guys is how I feel they are to me. Love them. Great. I've been doing line haul now with them, doing containers there from Oakland to Reno every night, doing Donner Pass. And that itself, I could have a billion stories, but there are a bunch of other guys have had those stories too. But anyway, so I was headed up on the 5 one night in Central California, and it is a very, it's a pretty lonely, dark road. And I was headed back up at like maybe 2 in the morning. And I remember I was on the phone with my lady because I was going to come home that night. And she, we're talking, and this guy, it was a windy night, this guy on like a dual sport, you know, dirt bike practically with a plate, was riding by me, and he was struggling to pass me. In California, you got to do 55. So he was maybe going 60 miles an hour, just teetering by me. I could see the wind toppling him left and right and left and right, you know, so I backed off to, you know, make it easier for him to get around me. And I'm watching him start to go out of sight, you know, or start to get out of my, you know, my paranoia zone that I have to be aware of as a driver. Mm-hmm. And as he's slowly getting out of my worry zone, this car comes up on my left, flying at least 100 miles per hour. And I'm sitting there talking to my girlfriend, talking about, you know, what movie we're going to watch when I come home. And all of a sudden, this car flies by me. And I'm like, wait, wasn't there a bike right there? And I see this car hit his brakes, fly into the median, fly out. And I'm like, what is happening? And there's dust. And I'm sitting there. I take the cruise control off. I'm rolling a little bit. I hit my brakes. And I'm coming to a slow. And then I see this guy's helmet like reflect off of my headlights. And to set the scene for you, the dotted line, the two-lane road dotted line, and the half of this guy's body, upper half, is in my lane, and his head is and neck are right where my left steer tire was. And he had just come into my light, and I was probably going 40 miles an hour. And I remember swerving the truck. I told myself in that split second, swerving the truck as hard as I could without knowing I'm gonna flip, basically. Like I know how hard I can swerve, and I swerved and I missed him. But what I didn't account for was my trailer, the tandem swing, you know, on those 53s, right. There's actually a swing on them if you do it that abrupt. And it was pitch black and I couldn't see anything and I didn't feel anything. And I remember just my mental, my girlfriend was talking to me this entire time and she didn't know what was going on because I just went silent. Her voice in my head just was gone. I heard nothing. And she was talking the entire time, apparently. Like, I got that, like, kind of when a bomb goes off in the movies and, you know, they get that ring in their ear.
Right.
That's kind of the sensation I felt like, did I just kill somebody? And it wasn't, you know, and I wasn't even, wasn't my fault, but was it my fault? All these thoughts go through my head and I'm like, well, I got to get out. I got out. I don't know how, but I saw my trailer swerve marks. They couldn't have been more than 6 inches from his helmet. I was so thankful. And he was having a hard time. And then a bunch of cars stopped and it was a big ordeal, but it just haunted me that I was doing my job. I was trying to stay alert. You know, it was a night shift. So, but at any moment, I could have been in a lawsuit. And at any moment, more importantly, I could have taken someone's life. And that's what I think a lot of people don't realize about the job we work is you have so much more opportunity to be in situations like that because you're always out, you know?
Yes, that is it. You are on the road all the time. The chances go up every day you go out. Every time you're driving, the chances increase more and more. And it's like playing the odds. You know, it's just your odds of something happening. You know what I mean? And so it's always up to you to keep, you know, and you know, situations arise. I mean, I've had situations that arose, in my own driving experience. But you did a great job. I mean, you missed the guy. That's what counts.
Yeah.
You
know, that's what counts. Yeah. His life was away. That's number one priority. Yeah. I was like, you know what? If I crash, I can't imagine. I know I'm going to be okay. It was the conditions would have permitted it. I was like, if I go off the road and hit something, I don't care if I were to get fired or what. I could look anyone in the eye and say that was the right decision, you know, just to miss that guy who was doing nothing wrong and got rear-ended of all things by a car going 100 miles an hour, you know?
Exactly.
It really shows you, like, I'm so glad you shared that story because it really just shows like you said, the seriousness that we are dealing with out on the road, and we can be in control of our vessel, but
exactly,
it doesn't mean that everybody has that same sense of responsibility out on the road around us. And we're around so many people all the time. Every time we get in that truck, we are going to encounter multiple people who are operating their vehicles, no matter how big or small it is, and they don't take that sense of responsibility, and things can happen around us. And it's literally up to you and I to make sure we're in control of our ship, to make sure that we don't kill somebody when they are not covering what they need to cover on their end when it comes to responsibility. And there's nothing you could have done to avoid that situation. I'm glad you missed the guy.
Oh yeah,
me too.
Did he survive?
God.
Do you know if he survived?
So it was, and it almost hit home even harder because I am a motorcycle enthusiast myself, mm-hmm. and I followed up with the sheriff. I had just gotten the Lytx camera installed in that truck, and it was the weekend, and I hadn't called safety. And unfortunately, if I'd have called sooner, I might have been able to get the playback to see if I could gotten the plate or anything. But it was a 48. I forget what Lytx uses, but long story short, I wasn't able to retrieve footage. But the guy did make it. He had some internal bleeding. I thought he was paralyzed. When I walked up, he was gargling his own blood. It was a bad sight. So it sounds like from the officer that followed up with me, that he was going to make an all right recovery. It was going to take about a year, but he will be able to, you know, maybe ride a bike again, or, you know, he'll be able to do his day-to-day routines with some therapy.
Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy. I mean, my uncle Brian, my dad's sister's husband, he motorcycle and he loved it. And then one day, if I remember correctly, Dad, an older person pulled out.
Turned left, right. Turned in front of
him. He had the right of way. And he hit the hood.
Yeah.
And
right over.
What did he float? Fly like 40 feet, something like that?
Yep.
Oh my gosh.
And, you know, he scuffed up and everything, but he broke his ankle.
Yeah, broke his ankle. I mean, he did some serious damage. His thigh, his ankle, his shoulder, like the top of his arm. From his elbow to his shoulder, that part, I don't know what that's called, but
me neither.
I'm a truck driver. Yeah. That got broke, so he's got screws and stuff in there, and screwed him up. He was out of work for a long time.
Yeah, it was enough for him to stop riding motorcycle. I think upon request of Aunt Heidi.
Oh
yeah.
Well, not it wasn't a request.
Man, it's you have no protection, and it's
right.
I don't think I rode for at least I was riding. Every weekend, it was a point. That's my thing. I love two wheels, dirt bike or street. And I don't think I rode for at least a month after that on the street. Jeez. It shook me up beyond, and nothing has before. That was because he truly wasn't even in the wrong, other than maybe he could have been in the slow lane. But even that doesn't justify, you know. And that other guy, I guess, had been drunk. So
there you go.
Like I said, anything can happen out there, man.
Oh yeah, and this is another point that you know, you always have to make, especially for truck drivers, is you have to be aware of what everybody else is doing around you. It's not just that you're watching what you're doing, is you have to be paying attention to what's going on, almost anticipating sometimes what somebody's going to do, which makes this job that much harder because so many other people aren't paying attention to what they're doing. I mean, you've seen it. I'm sure you've seen this, Brandon. People driving down the road, they're swerving a little bit. They get a little bit close to your tractor and you look down and they're on there. They're texting on their phone or they're watching a movie or they got something going on. And it's like, what is with people? And, you see it all the time. You have to think for everybody else.
You do. You really do. You have to know. And it's you know what the hardest thing about it too. And when it comes back to reality, mm-hmm. my girlfriend thinks I'm just a jackass because I'm sitting there whenever we go to the city and I'm calling out people cutting her off.
Yes.
And she's like, not everyone's trying to kill us. And I'm thinking to myself, that's just been my experience lately. I don't know. It's just, you have to think like that. And in a car, you can do more to prevent it, but stopping a truck or squeezing in a gap in a truck, you have to drive almost paranoid. And I've heard, and you know, Brian, you could probably talk more on this, with experience, it becomes second nature, but it still stresses me out to this, you know, at my point in my career, since I'm so new, it still tires me out a little bit, but I'm sure it becomes second nature after a while.
You know what? The thing is you still get out of your truck tired. I, you know, 27 years later, and you know, it wears you out because it's a mental stress that you're constantly under, because especially once traffic starts picking up in the morning. I mean, you know, you said you do line haul, so you run over the nighttime, correct?
Correct. Yes. Yeah.
So I, you know, when you get to the end of your shift, you know, end of your time working, and it starts to get busy out there, and that's when the stress starts, because people don't give themselves enough time. You know, give yourself 10, 15 more minutes in the morning, get up 10 more minutes early. You know, just give yourself the time to get to work so you don't have to cut the truck off or squeeze in between while he's coming to a stop at a red light. And then you want to squeeze in right between you and you know, hit the car in front of him and you as he's coming to a stop, you know, shortening that stopping distance. You just can't get that across to people enough. But, you know, Brandon, it has been awesome talking to you. It really has been a pleasure. You've got such a great personality. You're going to do well in the trucking industry. You're going to go far. As long as you want to do it and you keep the drive to do it, you're going to have a good time. It is an enjoyable job. I'm glad that
we got a chance to talk. Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. Best thing ever happened to me. I will say that. I love it so much. It is unlike any other career someone could have. And I'm just thankful that I found it this early on and I didn't wait longer.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you, Brandon, I agree with you, what you said way earlier in the interview. You mentioned about how much you love driving. That's my favorite part of this job. It's the only thing I really, truly love is the actual be out on the road and driving. Absolutely love it. And man, you're absolutely right. 24 years old, get into a good company and hang out there, because I promise you one day you're going to be top seniority guy and you're going to have the gravy run and you're just going to look at all the young bucks and tell them stories just like we're talking now.
Yep.
We're open.
Well, that's the show, everybody. We really hope you enjoyed it. And if you did enjoy it, please go ahead and share the show. Dad, what can they do? Some suggestions on sharing the show.
You know what? There's a couple of platforms that I've heard about, something like Facebook and something like Twitter. And there's another one called Instagram. If they share the show on those things, or if they talk to a friend, talk to a wife, a spouse, a boyfriend, girlfriend, mom, dad, share the show with anybody. And also, when you go to the website, check out the merch. Drop down to the shop, take a look and see what we got, and create a conversation around a sticker, a coffee cup, shirt, hoodie, something like that. That'd be cool.
The hoodies are nice.
They are very nice.
Real nice. You're wearing a t-shirt right now.
I am.
Look
I
at
am.
That. Nice.
I have a couple of them myself.
Yeah, I should get some.
Yes, you should.
All right, guys. Until next week, keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
That'd be the last time that sucker will ever want to touch a woman, I guarantee you. You'd have a real bad day after that.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Run.
Well, the midnight headlights blind you on a rainy night. Steep grade up ahead. Slow me down, making no time. But I gotta keep rolling. Slapping out a tempo, keeping perfect rhythm with the song on the radio. Yeah, I gotta keep it rolling. Ooh, I'm driving my life away, looking for a better way for me. Ooh, I'm driving my life away, I'm looking for a sunny day. Was just a baby. Hey waitress, pour me another cup of coffee. Pop it down, jack me up, shoot me out, flying down the highway. I'm looking for the morning. Ooh, I'm driving my life away. I'm looking for a better way. My life. taking no time. Yeah, I gotta keep her rolling. Those windshield wipers slapping out a tempo, keeping perfect rhythm with the song on the radio. Lord, I gotta keep her rolling. Ooh, I'm driving my life away, looking for a better way.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.